Law 37. Create compelling spectacles. Judgment. Striking imagery and grand symbolic gestures create the aura of power. Everyone responds to them. Stage spectacles for those around you. Then, full of arresting visuals and radiant symbols that heighten your presence. Dazzled by appearances, no one will notice what you are really doing. Observance of the law. In 1536, the future king, Henry II of France, took his first mistress, Diane de Poitiers. Diane was 37 at the time and was the widow of the Grand Seneschal of Normandy. Henry, meanwhile, was a sprightly lad of 17 who was just beginning to sow his wild oats. At first, their union seemed merely platonic, with Henry showing an intensely spiritual devotion to Diane. But it soon became clear that he loved her in every way, preferring her bed to that of his young wife, Catherine de Medici. In 1547, King Francis died, and Henry ascended to the throne. This new situation posed perils for Diane de Poitiers. She had just turned 48, and despite her notorious cold baths and rumored youth potions, she was beginning to show her age. Now that Henry was king, perhaps he would return to the queen's bed and do as other kings had done, choose mistresses from the bevy of beauties who made the French court the envy of Europe. He was, after all, only 28 and cut a dashing figure. But Diane did not give up so easily. She would continue to enthrall her lover, as she had enthralled him for the past 11 years. Diane's secret weapons were symbols and images to which she had always paid great attention. Early on in her relationship with Henry, she had created a motif by intertwining her initials with his to symbolize their union. The idea worked like a charm. Henry put this insignia everywhere, on his royal robes, on monuments, on churches, on the facade of the Louvre, then the royal palace in Paris. Diane's favorite colors were black and white, which she wore exclusively, and wherever it was possible, the insignia appeared in these colors. Everyone recognized the symbol and its meaning. Soon after Henry took the throne, however, Diane went still further. She decided to identify herself with the Roman goddess Diana, her namesake. Diana was the goddess of the hunt, the traditional royal pastime, and the particular passion of Henry. Equally important, in Renaissance art, she symbolized chastity and purity. For a woman like Diane to identify herself with this goddess would instantly call up those images in the court, giving her an air of respectability. Symbolizing her chaste relationship with Henry, it would also set her apart from the adulterous liaisons of royal mistresses past. To effect this association, Diane began by completely transforming her castle at Annay. She raised the building's structure and in its place erected a magnificent Doric-columned edifice modeled after a Roman temple. It was made in white Normandy stone, flecked with black silex, reproducing Diane's trademark colors of black and white. The insignia of her and Henry's initials appeared on the columns, the doors, the windows, the carpet. Meanwhile, symbols of Diana, crescent moons, stags, and hounds, adorned the gates and facade. Inside, enormous tapestries depicting episodes in the life of the goddess lay on the floors and hung on the walls. In the garden stood the famous Goujon sculpture Diane Chasseresse, which is now in the Louvre and which had an uncanny resemblance to Diane de Poitiers. Paintings and other depictions of Diana appeared in every corner of the castle. Annay overwhelmed Henry, who soon was trumpeting the image of Diane de Poitiers as a Roman goddess. In 1548, when the couple appeared together in Lyon for a royal celebration, the townspeople welcomed them with a tableau vivant depicting a scene with Diana the Huntress. France's greatest poet of the period, Pierre de Ronsard, began to write verses in honor of Diana. Indeed, a kind of cult of Diana sprang up, all inspired by the king's mistress. It seemed to Henry that Diane had given herself a kind of divine aura, and as if he were destined to worship her for the rest of his life. And until his death in 1559, he did remain faithful to her, making her a duchess, giving her untold wealth, and displaying an almost religious devotion to his first and only mistress. Interpretation. Diane de Poitiers, a woman from a modest bourgeois background, managed to captivate Henry for over 20 years. By the time she died, she was well into her 60s, yet his passion for her only increased with the years. She knew the king well. He was not an intellectual, but a lover of the outdoors. He particularly loved jousting tournaments with their bright pennants, brilliantly caparisoned horses, and beautifully dressed women. Henry's love of visual splendor seemed childlike to Diane, and she played on this weakness of his at every opportunity. Most astute of all was Diane's appropriation of the goddess Diana. Here, she took the game beyond physical imagery into the realm of the psychic symbol. It was quite a feat to transform a king's mistress into an emblem of power and purity, but she managed it. Without the resonance of the goddess, Diane was merely an aging courtesan. With the imagery and symbolism of Diana on her shoulders, she seemed a mythic force destined for greatness. You too can play with images like these, weaving visual clues into an encompassing gestalt, as Diane did with her colors and her insignia. Establishing a trademark like these to set yourself apart. Then take the game further. Find an image or symbol from the past that will neatly fit your situation and put it on your shoulders like a cape. It will make you seem larger than life. Keys to power. Words put you on the defensive. If you have to explain yourself, your power is already in question. The image, on the other hand, imposes itself as a given. It discourages questions, creates forceful associations, resists unintended interpretations, communicates instantly, and forges bonds that transcend social differences. Words stir up arguments and divisions. Images bring people together. They are the quintessential instruments of power. The symbol has the same force, whether it is visual or a verbal description of something visual. The symbol of the Sun King, as explained by Louis XIV, who is known by that epithet, can be read on many layers, but the beauty of it is that its associations required no explanation, spoke immediately to his subjects, distinguished him from all other kings, and conjured up a kind of majesty that went far beyond the words themselves. The symbol contains untold power. Things change in the game of symbols. It is probably no longer possible to pose as a Sun King or to wrap the mantle of Diana around you. Yet, you can associate yourself with such symbols more indirectly. And, of course, you can make your own mythology out of figures from more recent history, people who are comfortably dead but still powerfully associative in the public eye. The idea is to give yourself an aura, a stature that your normal, banal appearance simply will not create. By herself, Diane de Poitiers had no such radiant powers. She was as human and ordinary as most of us, but the symbol elevated her above the human lot and made her seem divine. Use the power of symbols as a way to rally, animate, and unite your troops or team. Always find a symbol to represent your cause. The more emotional associations, the better. The best way to use images and symbols is to organize them into a grand spectacle that awes people and distracts them from unpleasant realities. This is easy to do, People love what is grand, spectacular, and larger than life. Appeal to their emotions, and they will flock to your spectacle in hordes. The visual is the easiest route to their hearts.